Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show on 88.5 FM Panhandle Community Radio with Jim and Jack in the studio this morning. We'll be talking to Hannah Payton and Melanie Collette, talking about the Senior Companion Program. They're from the Senior Companion Program and from the Panhandle Health District. Much to talk about on that topic, but first...
What's on all of our minds, Jack?
The weather, Jim.
Weather. And what is it like?
We are currently in a winter storm warning that's continuing until 4 p.m. today. A 100% chance of precipitation today. It looks like rain, freezing rain, and then heavy rain. High of 42 degrees today. It will be not too windy, which is nice. The snow drifts as I was walking in were pretty...
Boy, did it ever.
Yeah, it was that wind really caused some problems. But anyway, tonight the rain will continue likely before 10 p.m. and then a chance of showers after 10 p.m. Cloudy with a low around 33 degrees, southwest wind of 9 to 11 miles an hour. A 60% chance of precipitation tonight. Tomorrow, rain showers likely before 4 and then rain and snow showers after 4 p.m. High near 39 degrees tomorrow, Friday. 80% chance of precipitation. And then rain and snow showers continuing on Friday night. A 20% chance of snow showers on Saturday. Mostly cloudy with a high near 37 degrees. On Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 36. Won't that be a refreshing change of pace after this?
All we have to say is if you are heading out and about, if you're on foot, did you used to play as a child, Mother May I? Did you ever do that?
I'm familiar with the
game. You know, where you take baby steps or giant steps. Take baby steps today if you're going out. And if you have, like, walking poles, trekking poles, something like that, take those with you as well. And if you're driving, please be careful. You know, the best thing would be just to... pour yourself a cup of coffee or maybe a vodka tonic and sit by the window and watch it all happen outside. But I woke up this morning and I opened the garage door and there were moose tracks all over. I live close to the health club and there were branches from our decorative plum tree all on the snow where they come and snack and they do our pruning for us.
See them?
No.
I mean, just the tracks.
Just the tracks. Very well. They move on.
Yeah. Are they nocturnal? Were they there at night or when? Or
they had to have been. They had to have been. I don't know if they're nocturnal, but they certainly come around. And we've had them bed down on the side of our house. But this was just neater than can be. Here's all this new fresh snow and clomp, clomp, clomp. But we've got a couple guests this morning. Anything else about the weather we want to say?
Boy. I don't know. I slept wonderfully. I fell asleep wonderfully last night with that snow coming down and then woke rudely as the snow plows were going by.
And the crunching of the snow as you walked.
The walk in, I've got pretty nice shoes on, but I wish I had worn a higher ankle because it's a little bit deep out there still. Not everybody has gotten their shovels out or their snow blowers in the downtown Sandpoint yet area. But that's all I've got to say.
We've got two guests here, Hannah Payton and Melanie Collette. And Hannah is Volunteer Services Coordinator for the Senior Companion Program. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you for trekking across the Long Bridge. How was that?
It was a bit of a drive this morning. You know, honestly, once we dug the car out of the ice and snow, it was pretty smooth sailing from there. But we did roll down a window and have just a sheet of ice that we had to break through. So that was eventful. We're so glad to have this opportunity to talk about the program. And we're just glad to be here.
We're glad you made it here safely. And Melanie Collette, she is the Public Information Officer for Panhandle Health District. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Great to have both of you here. I came across the senior companion program in an article in the Bonner Bee on January the 10th. And I think it's an incredible organization. So we're going to turn to Hannah. And if you could give us an overview of the organization, what it does, and who it serves.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you saw that article because I think it's such a wonderful introduction. It really tells the story of the friendship between the clients and the volunteers. So what the Senior Companion Program is, we have about 50 volunteers across the five northern counties. All the volunteers are 55 and over themselves, and then they go out and visit with elderly homebound clients in their own homes, and they provide companionship. They might help with transportation, and the goal is really just providing friendship, keeping people from becoming isolated as they age, and helping folks stay independent in their own homes, which is so important to a lot of us. It's great because there's really a strong benefit, of course, to the folks that we're visiting, the clients, but there's a lot that the volunteers get out of it too. So it's a wonderful program, and we're so glad to have that article and to be here to kind of spread the word about it.
Now, the volunteers as well are over 55. There's an age limit to volunteer, not just to receive the benefits.
There is. So that's a really interesting part of the program. It's kind of seniors helping seniors. And I found that for the volunteers, sometimes after you retire, as you start aging, you feel less valued by the community. Maybe you defined yourself by your work or by your relationships with people. And as those start slipping away, sometimes you don't feel like you have the utility and the dignity that you used to. People treat you differently. And then some of my volunteers just aren't good at retiring. You can volunteer between 15 and 40 hours a week. And I have a handful of people that are right up at 40 hours, which is a full-time job. And I always tell them that I'm not going to be doing anything 40 hours a week when I'm retired. But they want to get out there and serve.
How long has this organization been around?
So the organization has been around since the 70s. It's actually a national program. So it's through the Senior Corps, which is kind of a sister program to AmeriCorps that focuses on volunteer opportunities for older Americans. We've been with Panhandle Health District as our local sponsor since 1987. So it's a well-established program.
So Senior Corps is the kind of the umbrella organization.
That's right.
Is that a federal program or is it just its own thing?
It is a federal program. So that's a great thing that we have that support and that architecture and that it's something that is available nationwide. And then we also have the ability to customize it quite a bit with Panhandle Health District as the local sponsor and to really focus on the needs of our community.
Yeah. So what is the relationship there between the Panhandle Health District and the Senior Companion Program? And maybe Melanie Collette can speak to that.
Yes. So the Panhandle Health District is in reality just the fiduciary sponsor for the Senior Companion Program. At the Panhandle Health District, we ensure that programs are available throughout all five northern counties, and we really focus on public health. So when we have programs like Senior Companions available in the country, we want to get them here because we know that we have an aging population. We have a rural population. And this is a program that reaches the older population and helps them be more independent for longer. And that's important to us.
Speaking of that aging population, I saw the statistic I saw is that Bonner County is now 22.3% or so over the age of 65, up from 17% in 2010. So aging indeed. That's higher than the national average, by the way.
It is a national trend, though.
We're
seeing them getting older now.
Right. Present company. Excluded? No offense. Whatever.
You're looking straight at me.
I'm sorry, Jim. Yeah.
No. I would be interested. Let's go back to Hannah. How does a senior citizen plug himself or herself into the program?
That's a great question. You know, the first thing I'd recommend, they can always just give me a call. And I know we'll go over this a few times, but my number is 208-415-5177. And I'm always happy to chat with them and give them the ins and outs of the program. Once they apply, we do have a bit of training. We want our volunteers to have as much information as they need to really feel comfortable. Because once you are a volunteer, you know, you really work quite independently. You're just going to see your client in their home. There's not a lot of direct guidance from me. So we focus on that orientation at the start to give them kind of that best best support. So there's a one-day orientation that we all get together with new volunteers. We have lunch. It's usually a lot of fun. And then after that, we have monthly meetings. We typically have a speaker come in from the community and tell them about maybe a resource that's available to their clients. Or it's terrific to have Panhandle Health as our sponsor because we're able to do a lot of health education as well for issues that might be affecting them and their clients. So they have that training, and then we assign them clients. A client always has just one volunteer. It's really a one-to-one person relationship, so we wouldn't be sending different volunteers to see the same person. And we really focus on finding two people that we think are going to click. So we talk about all kinds of things with our volunteers and clients to find people that have similar backgrounds. I always love if we have a client who's a veteran, if we can find a volunteer who's a veteran as well. We have a wonderful pair in Coeur d'Alene. The stories that this client tells are just, I mean, we need to get a biographer out there to talk to him. He has these amazing World War II stories. And then his volunteer served in Korea, and his father served actually in the same it's similarly to the clients. So they talk about that, and I got to drop in on them once, and it was so much fun just listening to them chat about it. So we look for people that maybe have crafts or hobbies in common, things like that, that they can share as they go along.
Or the description in the Bonner Bee. That's what I found so attractive between Jan and Marta. They're just the stories. You know, so if you're at all wondering what a senior companion does, I would suggest tracking down the January 10th Bonner Bee. I'm sure one could go online and find the article. It really is heartwarming to read about the relationship between these two women and how they have developed it over the time that they've been together.
It is. And they've been, I believe that they've been together for about 5 years. And it's just lovely. I mean, the client, Marta, she just lights up when our volunteer comes in, and the volunteer calls me every couple of weeks to tell me how she's doing and share a story that Marta told her. And she says that even though they've been seeing each other a couple of times a week for years, she never hears the same story. So yeah, it's a lovely example. And one thing I really like about the program is that it's so flexible depending on what the client needs and who they are and who the volunteer is. Each relationship is so different. So some people just need companionship. So you have these great relationships where they're just visiting and sharing stories. We have a really sweet lady in Coeur d'Alene who all of our clients are homebound, so they're not able to get out and drive themselves around. And she just missed, you know, the reason that we all live up here in North Idaho, the beautiful scenery and getting outside. And so her senior companion will take her on drives around Fernand Lake. And when the weather is nice, of course.
Not today.
Not today. Though when we did, we got a break in all this snow and ice a few weeks ago, and they went out to see the eagles at Beauty Bay. And the client actually wrote me a card and told me how much that meant to her just to get out and enjoy that again.
Well, you know, when I stop and think about what a mobile society we are, that oftentimes children go elsewhere if a person has children. And so therefore, that's another level of, you know, being isolated and alone. And all the more importance of having members of the community step to the plate. And I'm sure it works both ways. We're talking about the needs of the homebound, but Can you talk about the way in which the volunteer benefits?
Absolutely. I was just thinking about that as you were talking. It's really wonderful. One of the focuses of the program, I love that the volunteers are so well taken care of with the Senior Companion Program. It's really, it has a dual focus on the clients and the volunteers. The program focuses on lower income seniors and really providing them an outlet to volunteer without taking money out of their own pocket. So if you are income eligible and you're volunteering, you get a small stipend for your hours and you get a small mileage reimbursement. And I think the mileage reimbursement is really important because we have volunteers, particularly in some of the more rural areas, that are driving hundreds and hundreds of miles each month to help people get to doctor's appointments, take them to the grocery store, the food bank, or like we were saying, go see the Eagles out at Beauty Bay. And the volunteers get a great sense of community. They have these wonderful close connections with their clients, but they also get to know the volunteers in their area. Each county has a monthly meeting, as I said, where we do some education, and the volunteers have really become close. Many of them have served for years and years, and so they have those friendships that blossom as well. And there are actually, a lot of people don't know this, but there are actually quite a few health benefits to volunteering, particularly as you age. Keeping that social circle, the people that you interact with and the people that care about you and are concerned about you. I mean, there's positive correlations from everything from heart disease to lower rates of dementia. So, you know, you're staying active, you're staying connected, and you're staying healthy.
I stopped to think in terms of the importance of engaging with another person. You mentioned going out to see the Eagles. I just got through caretaking my 104-year-old mother who passed in October with my two sisters back in Indiana, and how we would each day engage her in the larger world, whether it be out to the mall just to walk around so we could comment what's in the window of Victoria's Secrets and how do they fit into that sort of thing, or going to the grocery store or to Notre Dame women's basketball games. And I think by doing that, because I think a tendency is to sort of shut down as your family moves away, as your friends pass on, to be less and less engaged in the world around one. You know, is that what you're discovering with the senior companions and their clients? I don't know. Do we use the word clients?
Clients is perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're really on target there. Just getting out and keeping some of the same things that you used to do, it's so important. And, you know, you mentioned caring for your mother, and we do have an element of our program that provides respite for family caregivers if they are in the area and they are providing care. I mean, it's a full-time job, sometimes on top of another full-time job, and people neglect their own health and their own well-being to care for others. So we send our volunteers in, and, you know, whatever their weekly schedule is today, maybe once or twice a week, they come in and they give that person a break so that the caregiver can get out as well and do things that are important to them. Sometimes they'll be going to support groups through the Alzheimer's Association, or even just, we have caregivers that say, now that I can get out and go to my bridge club once a month, it just makes my life so much better because mm-hmm. I had to give all these things up and now I can have them back. And with the clients too, sometimes it's the smallest things that really make them feel like they have that independence and that dignity back. You mentioned, you know, just going and window shopping and those sorts of things, going to the thrift store. Sometimes people don't want to ask their family members to do that if their family members are also taking care of grocery shopping mm-hmm. and doctor's appointments and things like that. So having a friend, having somebody who, you know, doesn't work full time that you don't have to worry about imposing on them, you'll see these clients really start to open up. At first, they're really thinking about the basics. They're thinking about, oh, let's go to the grocery store. Let's get some errands done. Let's do this. And then maybe a month in, they say, well, could we go to the library?
Yes.
Could we? There's a prayer group. There's a bake sale at my church. Could we do that again? Could we go to the senior center for lunch? And getting those things back into their life, having that freedom and that independence, you know, it just changes their whole outlook, and it's so rewarding to see.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Jack and Jim, and we're in conversation with Hannah Payton and Melanie Collette from the Senior Companions Program.
Should we take a music break on this day and then regroup? And because being a senior citizen myself, we're probably going to focus in on something that, looking around the room, age does have its benefits. It was on February 9th, this date in 1964, Melanie, Hannah, 1964, Jack, the Beatles appeared for the first time on Ed Sullivan.
Wow.
That was 70 million people tuned in for that. 60% of the television sets on that night were tuned in to Ed Sullivan. The Beatles did a 3-song set, and then they did a 2-song set. And I can remember my jaw dropping because so much pre-publicity had gone on. And do I dare ask if anybody, or is this just hearsay for you guys?
This is strictly hearsay, probably.
Strictly hearsay. Trust me, it was like unlike anything else before. We're going to play the first song that they opened with called All My Loving, and you couldn't hear it because there is so much screaming going on. So this goes out to all of you seniors who remember February 9th, 1964, the Ed Sullivan Show. Here's the Beatles for the first time on American television doing All My Loving.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
The first two songs that the Beatles played on the Ed Sullivan Show on February 9th, this day back in 1964, they did a 3-song set, and then they came back to more shrieks and screams from the audience for a 2-song set. But we opened with All My Loving, and then Till There Was You.
The early Beatles.
Early.
Yeah. They're one of those bands that have such distinct, seem like they have such distinct periods, and fans of their work always have a favorite period.
Well, as they progressed from a performing band, as they were in Hamburg, and as they came here in the early years in the States, to a studio band. That's one of the progressions that the Beatles, when finally their music, like on Sgt. Pepper's, you know, it's mainly studio stuff that they did different tricks and things with instruments as well as with sound.
Always fun to run into somebody who really likes the early Beatles. I think Jerry does. But, oh,
I do too. Yeah. I do too. Uh-huh. You play Meet the Beatles. There's just some raw energy there. That's wonderful.
Yes, there is. I was talking about Jerry Warren, by the way, host of the 60s show.
Yay,
on KRFY.
Jerry. Yay, Jerry.
On 6 o'clock on Saturday nights. Do tune in. And you're listening to The Morning Show with Jack and Jim. And we are in conversation with Hannah Payton, who's the volunteer services coordinator for the Senior Companions Program, and also Melanie Collette, the Public Information Officer for the Panhandle Health District, talking to this morning about the Senior Companions Program. And if somebody's out there listening right now, thinking of volunteering, Hannah, what might they look forward to? What's a typical experience like? And what's kind of the demand on their time? Speak to that, if you would.
Absolutely. But before we get back to the Senior Companion Program, I just have to say some things are timeless. And even though I am not a senior myself, I am one of the biggest Beatles fans that you will ever find.
Hannah.
Yeah.
And I love the early Beatles. And you were mentioning the screams and the shrieks. And a funny thing I remember reading is that when they did their first American tour, a lot of times everybody would be screaming just the whole time to the point where nobody could hear the songs and they couldn't hear themselves playing. So they would just speed run mm-hmm. through everything.
A concert would be 27 minutes long.
Exactly. Finish in under 45 minutes
and then they're gone.
Get off the stage. Mm-hmm. So that was just something funny I thought I'd share. But back to the Senior Companion Program. I think it would be great to talk a little bit about sort of what a typical experience would be. I mentioned briefly, we require at least 15 hours a week. Some people go all the way up to 40, though it's just a handful of them. So there's flexibility in your time and there's flexibility in your schedule. We set up weekly appointments with clients. So when you first go in and meet that client, you would look at your availability and what they need. And maybe you would say Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 3, that's our time. We'll be here every week. And that's great because that gives the client something that they know they can look forward to. They can make their appointments then. They have that set. And it gives the volunteer the opportunity to kind of build their own schedule. A lot of times I talk to people who are interested in volunteering, and I like to really emphasize that we're never just going to put you with somebody and say, we need you here Monday from this time to this time. They're always very involved in setting their own schedule. So I think that's something that is attractive about the program. We've been talking a lot so far about the companionship aspect, the friendship aspect. And to me, that's definitely the heart of the program. And that is involved in every client volunteer relationship. But there's a lot that these volunteers do. If you're just tuning in, or if I kind of skipped over it briefly earlier, all of our clients are homebound, so they're not driving themselves. They're kind of stuck in their houses, and they are still able to live independently with just a little bit of help, and that's what our companions provide. And so sometimes that little bit of help might be getting them to and from the doctor's appointments. Some people with chronic conditions, maybe their volunteer takes them to dialysis on a weekly basis. They can either run errands for the clients, go out with a grocery list and come back, or they can take them out grocery shopping, to the food bank, these different kinds of services. They can help people go through mail and forms for some of our clients who are blind or have low vision. That's a huge, huge help. And so it's nice they can kind of just fit in these small gaps that the person isn't able to do for themselves. But with that little bit of help, they're able to stay in that same home that they've been in for years and years and keep that part of their identity. There was a survey by AARP that said that 88% of adults want to stay in their own home as they age.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's probably, if you did that survey locally, I bet the number would be even higher, because out here in the West, I feel like we live here because we are kind of independent people. And so I think especially locally, that's so important to people to be able to stay in that home and keep that part of their identity.
And from a North Idaho public health perspective, we really see that these are meeting essential needs of our community. As a volunteer, you might be helping fill out some paperwork that is necessary for the client to get Meals on Wheels, to get the LIHEAP, maybe help with their bills and other essential food needs that they have, driving to the food bank. This is really important for us to be able to meet our public health goals. So the volunteers are essential for us as well. And what we're really seeing is a need for male volunteers specifically. It's pretty common in a lot of volunteer programs that women are the majority of volunteers. And that is also the case here for Senior Companions. There are a lot of companion client relationships that are mixed gender, women visiting men and men visiting women. But we really pride ourselves in finding a good connection between the client and the companion so that they can both get the most out of the program. And often it's women meeting with women and men meeting with men. We talked a little bit about the aging population earlier. It is a lot of men that are aging too, as well as women. So we want to have more men over the age of 55 who are willing to go and help other older men that are homebound. And it can be friendship as well as help. So it's really important that people understand that this isn't just about companionship, like Hannah mentioned. It is the heart of the program, but there are needs that need to be met in our community, and this is a direct way that you can make a difference.
Is there, you mentioned that people want to stay in their own homes. Do you know, are people usually living, I mean, do you have a lot of clients out kind of in the country on large properties, or is it mostly people in already who've moved into retirement homes, or what's the mix there?
You know, it's a little bit of everything. We do have a handful of clients, particularly in Kootenai County in the Coeur d'Alene area, who are in independent living apartments. We don't serve assisted care because we feel that those people, you know, have that help and they're not striving to live independently. So we're kind of filling in the gaps for folks that are still in that earlier phase. But we do have, you know, we serve the five northern counties, so especially down near St. Mary's, over in Shoshone, up here and into Bonner's Ferry. We do have a lot of people that are, you know, quite a bit off the beaten path, and this service is just all the more essential for them.
Mm-hmm.
If I could speak to that about people, keeping people in their own homes. It sort of sounds like forced imprisonment, keeping people in their own homes. But having watched my mother, you know, the memories, she lived in her own home for 68 years, and the memories are there, a familiar environment. And she, I think, retained a sense of independence being in her own home, even though she needed us, her children, whereas if she had moved into assisted living or into a nursing home, you know, that independence, that feeling of independence would have disappeared. And so, I think there's all sorts of really positive, good reasons for people remaining in their own homes, but there's also a support group that needs to be there to help them with their day-to-day, whether it be food or whatever, and companionship.
And often it goes without saying, but we should say that this program is free to the client.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also a benefit that they get compared to a assisted living facility.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask about, let's say if there is a volunteer out there and say, you know, I'm really interested in this program, but I disappear for 3 weeks during the summer to visit my children in New York or something like that. That, yes, I would, but I could not be there every week. How do you work around a schedule like that, Hannah? How does that?
Yeah, we absolutely do. Especially living here and having our volunteers be over 55, there certainly are people who travel a lot to see their grandkids in other states, or maybe even do a little bit of the snowbird lifestyle and have somewhere warm that they maybe are there now, which I wish that I could be too. And it's really important to the program to provide volunteer opportunities as broadly as we can to these, active seniors who are looking for something to do. So we do have folks that do that, and we kind of assign clients to them knowing that that's the case. And they just make arrangements either for maybe another volunteer to come in for a few weeks while they're gone, or perhaps the client knows that they're going to be, you know, out for the summer. So we find them somebody who is more looking for the companionship, who won't miss an important doctor's appointment if they're not there, things like that. So we do try and stay flexible with that. I want our volunteers to be able to do everything that they want to do and be part of this program. So we definitely try to accommodate that.
Can you crunch some numbers for us? Like, how many people are in the program? How many are waiting to have a companion? How many companions are out there? You know, that sort of thing. Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So the total number of volunteers is usually around 50. Here in Bonner County, we've got 6 people right now, which is a pretty small number. For this county, I would probably like to at least double that. And we're looking for a few more volunteers up in Boundary and Bonner's Ferry as well. So those 50 volunteers, they go out and see probably about 200 clients over the course of a year. And I would say our waiting list for clients is pretty typically around 30 people or so. And part of that is, you know, maybe they're way out in Harrison and we don't have anybody who either is driving up from Benoit or wants to go all the way over from Coeur d'Alene. Sometimes they, you know, maybe it's a respite case with somebody who has pretty advanced dementia and we need to find a volunteer who really feels comfortable with that. So there are a lot of factors on the waiting list, but that's kind of our scope and our reach right now.
The great thing about the program is for trainees, you are fully trained. I believe that there are 40 hours of training. A lot of that is hands-on, the far majority. And you get to be comfortable with the client before you're committed to them. So Hannah goes and does a house visit to see if the person is a good fit for the program, as well as who might be a good companion for them. And it really provides a good comfort for the volunteer so that they know exactly what they're going into when they're going into someone's home and they can be trained for that.
Absolutely. And I think the kind of the framework of the program, as we were talking about earlier, we have Panhandle Health District as our local sponsor. And then kind of the architecture of the program is through the Senior Corps, which is nationwide. It really gives a lot of accountability on both sides. So as opposed to just somebody from the community helping you, I think that families and clients can feel really safe and really comfortable with our volunteers. They do have this training. They do have ongoing training and they are all background checked and things like that. And then the volunteers feel supported because we do go in and do these home visits. We make sure it's a safe place for them to be volunteering. We never just send them into somebody's house, you know, give them this address way out Upper Pack River Road and say good luck. You know, we don't do that. We always make sure that it's going to be a good fit for them. And so I think that's something that is sort of unique for this program, that it gives so much support to the clients and to the volunteers. So I think that's really important.
How do you find your clients?
It's wonderful to be through Panhandle Health District, and we are actually part of the Home Health Department. And so there's a great partnership there where our nurses in the Home Health Department are serving homebound people in the community, not necessarily all seniors, but many of them are. So we get quite a few referrals there, and that's over the five northern counties as well. So they can refer to us in all those different areas. And then we do some outreach as well, and people find out about us through senior centers, through Area Agency on Aging, you know, just kind of connecting through different resources.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Jack, and I'm here with Jim and Hannah Payton and Melanie Collette from the Senior Companions Program in the Panhandle Health District. You guys are up from Hayden this morning, is that correct?
We are.
Yeah.
Made the trek up.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. Yeah. One more time, the contact information.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in this program, either as a volunteer or a client, you can contact me directly. Again, my name is Hannah Payton. My phone number is 208-415-5177. You can also email me at hpayton, that's H-P-A-T-O-N, at phd1.idaho.gov. If you just want to do a little research on your own, you can go to the Panhandle website. Melanie, do you want to give us that address?
Sure. That's panhandlehealthdistrict.org, and you will find Senior Companions under the Home Health section under the main menu there.
Wonderful. And just in case somebody was scrambling to get their pencils out, that phone number again is 208-415-5177.
And once again, thank you so much for coming in. You know, the classic example of improving the quality of life for everyone in the community, not only the people who are the clients in the program, but also the senior companions. Keep up the good work. You're doing an incredible job.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Okay, we're going to go back to the Beatles and the third song they played. I read one time it was a listing of the most re-recorded Beatles song. And, you know, as you can imagine, like Yesterday was up there. Everybody does Yesterday. This was the least recorded by other groups, Beatles song. And when you listen to it, you can sort of get a feel why. And we'll play a couple from that. We'll play, and then they go on to I Saw Her Standing There. And then Jack and Jim will be back together with some community events coming up. And we want to thank again Hannah and Melanie. You're doing a great job.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
That is a great Beatles song, and if you are someone who likes to look at your lyrics, I think it's an incredible song to find out who's singing to who. You know, I saw her, you know, it's somebody who's carrying a message to her from somebody who loves her. It's incredible. Uh-huh. But as we were saying goodbye to Hannah and Melanie, just all of a sudden we asked her what's coming up, and boom. So we've invited both Hannah and Melanie back again. We will play I Saw Her Standing There sometime or another during the day, maybe. But Melanie, what were you talking about, what's happening today as well as in the future?
So the Panhandle Health District always has some big events going on, keeping you up to date on your health. We have a lot of resources for you. So keep an eye on our Facebook or our Twitter page, Panhandle Health District. Just look us up. But today, big event, we have free HPV vaccines available. So you can check us out here in Sandpoint. It's 2101 West Pine. And anyone age 11 to 18, men and women, are provided with free HPV vaccination.
Just what today. Is that a vaccination for?
So it's for cervical cancer and HPV prevention. So it prevents cancer in men and women.
Perfect.
Because HPV can also be somewhat detrimental to men's health as well. So we want to make sure it's a preventative vaccine. It's proven to work and prevent cancer.
And is it free?
It's free today.
That's
so,
F-R-E-E.
No cost.
And you can get it where and when?
At any of our Panhandle Health District clinics, except for up in Bonner's Ferry. The Sandpoint office here on 2101 West Pine,
okay,
here in Sandpoint. You can walk in, no appointment necessary. Tell your friends, tell your grandkids, tell your daughters and sons to just drop in, and they can get their one dose of the vaccination today for
perfect.
No cost, and it can prevent cancer.
Do you know what how long it runs or what the hours are today?
8 a.m. to noon, and then sometimes the nurses will take a break during that lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try to avoid going during that time, but usually someone is available to do vaccines during that time as well. But then from 1 to 4:30, they'll still be doing vaccines. Someone's there till 5, but in order for you to make sure you get in time, I would show up by 4:30 today.
Perfect.
Right on. Well, thank you guys again for coming
in. Didn't Melanie mention something else about pregnant women?
That's right.
Yes, Mommy Fest.
I'm sorry.
2017. Book your calendars. Mark it for April 8th. It's a Saturday, and it's actually down at our Hayden office. And we have a big expo, yoga classes, prenatal, postnatal. We have car seat safety checks.
Perfect.
Tobacco cessation, gestational diabetes, WIC, breastfeeding, everything you could ever want to know about being a mom or a mom-to-be. It's a great place to get resources and lots of free giveaways.
So this is mainly for expecting mothers or
new moms or or moms or dads.
Long time.
You know
mothers.
What? It's really parent fest. You know, we do have a whole breastfeeding room open, which is.
Can we have you come back when we get closer to that date?
Oh, yeah.
And to talk about it?
Yes.
Great. Melanie, Hannah, thank you. so much.
Thank you.
The Beatles song we heard was She Loves You. And yeah, it is an unusual song because it's a love song about a man and a woman, but it's not sung from a man to a woman or the other way. Yeah, I saw her yesterday,
and she wants, you know, she loves you. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
I'm not totally surprised that it's the least covered, among the least covered Beatles songs, because it is, I've never heard anyone else do it. It's so identified as a Beatles song.
When they do shake their heads and their hair goes all over. Mm-hmm. Hannah remembers that.
That's it. I've seen the video.
Absolutely.
I have a few local community events here, and again, thanks to Hannah and Melanie for coming in. We don't mean to chase you out, but going on tonight at the Panda Theater and continuing this weekend, Hidden Figures, the Oscar-nominated film, Hidden Figures at 7:30 p.m., 1 p.m. on the 11th and 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. on February the 12th. Learn more at panada.org. Paul Banik was on the morning show here just a few days ago. On Tuesday, he is appearing on the 10th, that's tomorrow, for his presentation of A Year in the Life of North American Owls. This is in the Little Theater at the Panada on First Avenue. That's at 6 o'clock p.m. There will be video, sound, stories from the field, and dramatic images for this multimedia presentation in person. It's, again, A Year in the Life of North American Owls. You can also take a look at Banik's new book, Owl, A Year in the Lives of North American Owls. He will be available for signing. This is sponsored by the Kinnexu Land Trust and the American Heritage Wildlife Foundation and the Idaho Conservation League. Call 265-9565 for more information about that. The Starlight Racing Series continues up at Schweitzer Mountain Resort for weeks. We are now in probably the second week of the Starlight Racing Series, followed by fun and fabulous parties. Schweitzer.com for more information or call 255-3081. Live music tomorrow night at the Poor Authority. Ben Olson and Katie Archer from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. They are fantastic. That's at the Poor Authority. You can also go down to the winery if you're in the mood for a different kind of music. The Powers are back in town. A blend of indie folk and country music. You may remember the Powers. They opened at the festival at Sandpoint this year. I can't remember who they opened for.
I can't remember either. I mean, yeah, that was so last year.
A terrific Coeur d'Alene based group. They're at the winery tomorrow night from 5:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. And there is trivia at McDuff's. It's the McDuff's Mountaintop Trivia. This is at Taps Bar, not at McDuff's usual location. Okay. They always do the Tuesday night trivia at their Sandpoint location, but this will be up at Taps, hosted by McDuff's. And tomorrow night, starting at 6:30 p.m. I'm always on the radio during trivia on Tuesday nights, so this is my opportunity to go up there and show
and have fun,
strut my stuff.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'll do that. Second Fridays with Ron Green at McDuff's Beer Hall. That's continuing at 7 o'clock p.m. until 10 p.m. He is heading north. He's up from Coeur d'Alene for another special night. He's a soloist who plays the guitar, and I know he's a piano player as well, free and open to the public. That's, again, at McDuff's Beer Hall. I want to mention that Sadie Cecilia is playing at the Panada as well. That's tomorrow night, starting at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 7 o'clock p.m. Formerly Sadie Wagner, now Sadie Cecilia, joined by Chris Terracino, Mike Wagner, Tammy Wagner, Reese Warren, Desiree Bernhardt, and Chris Lynch. Panada.org for more information about that. There is a new movie in the Idaho Mythweavers series continuing. There's a movie this weekend at the library in the Rude Girls Room. you can go to mythweaver.org to check out more information about that. There's a lot going on, but we're almost out of time. Is there anything you want to make sure to mention, Jim?
Tune in tonight. We have an interesting lineup beginning at 7 o'clock with Dusty and Americana Backroads. And then at 8 o'clock, out of Bozeman, live from the Divide. And then beginning at 9 o'clock, the KRFY Folk Show that runs for 3 hours. So we have an interesting lineup on Thursday nights here on 88.5 KRFY.
We are fresh out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the morning show. Thanks again to Hannah Payton and Melanie Collette. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY.